There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
How about injuries? Taylor Rapp carted off the field after going to the Blue Medical Tent. What's his update, if you have one, and what's the course of action if he can't play? Cole Bishop seems to be the first in line, and I guess I'll get this out of the way. Does Mike Hyde have any chance to suit up if Taylor can't go?
I'll start with Mike. The answer is no. No chance he's going to suit up. Taylor is day-to-day. We'll see how that goes throughout our week. And then the other injury that I have right now is CB is in the concussion protocol.
All right. And yesterday against the Ravens, you used your base defense, seemed to up the blitz a little bit too. What was the decision-making process like when you and Bobby and the other defensive coaches made the decision that you guys were going to switch things up?
I just going through the normal process of formulating a game plan more than anything, I would say, Alex, and trying to, do what we feel like is best for that game in particular.
And how about the offense in the second half yesterday, 6 points? Do you feel things got maybe too conservative, or what was your perspective on why you were maybe unable to build the lead there?
Well, I thought that, the Ravens, give them credit. They played really good defense, stingy defense against us there. And, certainly didn't produce enough points. We had a good drive or two in the fourth quarter, but at the end of the day, we got to score points, and that's what we're meant to do here.
Can you update us too? I know Teron Johnson did go out of the game. How did he come out health wise?
He came out okay. A little bit sore, but all in all, okay.
And after watching the film, what were your biggest coach's concerns after watching the film of yesterday's game?
More so than anything, I would say fundamentals and execution. It usually starts there, and it's continued areas of emphasis for us throughout our week this week.
You always preach taking care of the football. That game, when you look at the stats, the numbers, the biggest thing that sticks out more than anything was how well the team and Josh Allen took care of the football, something he's done all year. Has that just been something as one of the focal points of your coaching staff?
Well, it's what we believe in terms of our approach to the game. It's easier said than done, I could tell you. I mean, the defenses in the league are so good. So it has to continue to be a point of emphasis for us every day.
And my last question to you, I asked you last night, were you going over to your office and starting your film study? How long did you work last night?
I came over here and did my normal routine, I guess I would say, after a game.
You identified Terrell Bernard for his leadership and ability very early on in his career. How fulfilling is it to see him mature, and what did you see from him so early on?
Are you referring to this year as early on, or
I'm talking early on in his career?
his pro career?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he came to us in a similar way, where he was at Baylor, known for his intangibles, for his leadership being one of those areas of his intangibles. And, you know, again, it's not always just the talent that draws us to people. It's the total package of who they are as people, and then what they can become as players and people as well. So he's had that trait about him, that leadership trait, I'm sure from, you know, when he was real young. And then when you watched him at Baylor and in our communication with the school he came from, that was well known about him.
Moving on to DeMar Hamlin, a lot's been made of his journey. What were your emotions when you saw that, when you saw him grab Lamar by the ankle and just never let go?
I was saying to Vaughn, run, you know, go. But then I saw Hill tracking him down. So, no, it was a great play, great moment for DeMar, of many moments that he's had this year. The thing I love about it with DeMar is he is so intent on growing every week, and really perfecting his process every week. It's just been a joy to watch him grow.
This goes back a long time. The Bills' inability to win a playoff game on the road. It goes beyond you even. What is it, a mindset thing? Is it just a comfort thing? What are the challenges that teams have to overcome to win a playoff game away from home?
You know, I don't know. I wasn't here in those years you're referring to, but I'll just say from my own experience in the playoffs, you've got to play your best football. Plain and simple, you got to perform at a level that allows you to win.
Obviously, a lot was said coming into the game about the size of the offensive line of the Ravens and the lack of size of the defensive line for you guys. But early in the game, especially the first half, when you guys got that 11-point lead, really holding them, they were struggling to run the ball a little bit. How big was that early in the game to kind of set the tone so that they weren't able to run the ball? I mean, obviously, Lamar threw for a touchdown on the first drive, but they were struggling to run the ball early on. How big was that to sort of set the tone for the rest of the game?
Well, you know, you have to take away something from a dynamic offense like that. So you can only focus usually on one thing at a time. So I thought we did a good job in that regard, to your point. And so that was part of the game plan, yes.
And then Greg Rousseau, back-to-back games in the playoffs right now with sacks. You know, how has he sort of come on this season? Obviously, he's had a good career, but come on this season, especially late now in these last two postseason games.
Well, I think he's done a good job, and that's really what's required, is our best players have to play their best every week. And that's true during the course of the regular season. And I think Greg is starting to understand how important that is to our team's success as well.
Last time you guys were in the AFC Championship back in the 2020 season, a lot of new faces since then. Do you feel like having sort of a lot of new fresh faces since that time, since these last couple playoff heartbreaks, sort of helps the team at all? Or is that not something you think about at all?
Not something I think about at all.
There's a trend over the last year or so of teams kind of moving towards controlling the ball a little bit more. It used to be, you throw the ball quite a bit, and now it's controlling the clock and running the ball. What have you seen just in terms of, over the last year or so, teams moving towards shortening possessions rather than creating more of them?
No, great question, Nick. I think it's spot on what you're, mentioning. It's just a matter of, I think, game to game once in a while, or how your team is built. And then countering off of what sometimes defenses are presenting structurally to the offense.
For you guys, you have a dynamic guy like Josh, but you've really made it an emphasis over the last year and a half, 2 years to run the ball a little bit more and maybe not get away from it when it doesn't work early. Why that, a lot of people might think, why are you taking the ball out of Josh's hands so much, but it seems to be working for you.
Well, there's a delicate balance there, no doubt. At the end of the day, you want to do what helps you win the most, run or pass. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I think just trying to create a good game plan week to week that's going to give you the best chance to win, and then adjusting through the course of the game based on how you're being defended, and also then again what's working. So that's kind of the week to week, you know, approach, I guess you would say.
I mean, I think there's a, obviously you want to keep guys like Lamar Jackson off the field, but the last couple of weeks, keeping whether it's Bo Nix or Lamar Jackson off the field, it seems like it's kind of broken their rhythm a little bit. They're not able to really get into a groove. How much do you think that's kind of played a part over the last couple of weeks as well?
Well, I think it's more so the complementary approach that we've been able to play, that style of game, right? Offense, defense, special teams, all working together. And that's important. I mean, that's the only way you win these games is by all three phases doing their part.
I noticed Matt Milano was off the field for, I think, the final three plays of the touchdown series, and then for the 2-point conversion. Could you speak to why he was, I think, replaced by Dorian Williams, and is there any health concern with him moving on?
Yeah, no, I not that I know of at this time. You know, I didn't get much information on it after the game, so I'm still waiting for some updates from our trainer at this point.
But was he off the field for an injury reason at the time?
I wasn't told that, so. Again, I'm still waiting on Nate to get in here late, so I'm still waiting on him to give me some updates.
Care to talk about Ed Oliver's dominance, you know, just to begin the game, you know, how he really set the tone in the trenches there yesterday, Coach?
He's been playing extremely well. He really has. You know, in particular, the one run play stands out yesterday where he got off a block. He was in his gap, and then, you know, what we call a gap and a half, shed the block to play in the adjacent gap, and made a heck of a tackle on the running back. So it's plays like that that really come to mind. And, you know, being able to do that in a two-dimensional way, the run and the pass game, is what's important for us moving forward.
In that third quarter, it seemed like, you know, Baltimore was able to get some momentum going, get some drives, you know, getting things going in the running game. But you maintained that momentum with Tyler Bass' 51-yard field goal. Just care to talk about that sequence of situations.
No, the confidence that we have in him, the confidence he has in himself was on display, full display last night. And, you know, he continues to do a great job for us.
No doubt, Coach. And, hey, this is your second time making it to the AFC Championship game. So, really, what goes into seizing a moment, you know, like these, but understanding the task at hand?
You know, I think at the end of the day, it's normal routine, normal approach. You know, make sure we're prepared during the week to do our jobs and do them at a high level.
On Christian Benford being in the concussion protocol, is that something that popped up after the game?
Yes. Yep.
So it's just like an evaluation after the game. He didn't have any issues during the game?
It was on one of the last plays of the game on that onside kick.
And then Amari Cooper, I remember when you guys traded for him and the challenges that it presents when you add somebody in season and getting up to speed, tempering expectations. He's had some moments over the course of the season. Has it been a struggle to interject him into the offense at times, or how have you evaluated his play and Joe's ability to kind of get him involved?
Well, I think it's, you know, every week we look at it and see how we can best put ourselves in a position to win, and who the ball is going to find, you know, through Josh's reads. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he has to go through his reads. I think he's done a phenomenal job of being a great decision maker this year in particular, Josh has, and continues to get better and better through the course of the season. And the ball goes to the guy who is open. So, you know, that's kind of the natural evolution of where the ball goes.
And then, like, the difference, you know, I know it's just 10 snaps, and I know you guys play a lot of six offensive linemen, but you see like Mac and Keon with, you know, considerably more snaps than Amari and Curtis. Is that just like game plan specific stuff?
Yes and no. It's just making sure that, you know, we have our players out there that we want out there and need out there for certain situations, to your point, and for certain game plan plays.
Obviously, you knew that the Ravens weren't going to punt, so the decision to make Codrington inactive was ended up being very brilliant on your part. But in all seriousness, was that a health-related thing? Was he healthy enough to play, or was that more of a personnel decision and you were comfortable with Khalil Shakir?
more of a personnel decision. You know, as we got to later in the week, it was clear, pretty clear, that Brandon was in a pretty good spot to go. You know, just, you know, a numbers decision as well as veteran player. And it also, at least last week, gave us a chance to get another core player up on another in another position.
Is that something that may be considered again this week?
I have to see. You know, with a couple of those injuries that I mentioned, sometimes the domino effect takes place and you got to kind of figure some of that out. So I really won't know. It's early right now for us. So you know, trying to see how all those things kind of crystallize for us here over the next couple of days. And I'll have better information for you guys on Wednesday.
Looking back to the AFC Championship game the last time you took on the Chiefs, there were a couple of fourth down decisions where you took maybe the more conservative route. And in the previous years this season included, you've become more aggressive on fourth down. Can you just kind of talk about your evolution on making those fourth down decisions?
It's you grow through the years, you learn things, you learn about your team that season. So all of them are a little bit different, but you continue to try and put your team in position to win. And that's what we do.
Is that maybe a game that you look back on that has kind of spurred some of these, decision-making processes where you kind of adjust your process going forward?
Yeah, I would say that's one of them. You know, you learn from things like that and, you're never going to be perfect, right? Nobody is. I think there was only one man that ever walked this earth that was ever perfect. That was a joke, AJ. But you try and do your best, like I said, to put your team in a position to win. But you learn from it. You definitely learn from experience, that's for sure.
What is it about Josh Allen this year? What did he do in the offseason to really not make a concerted effort not to turn the ball over? Down there at the goal line in that last series, looked like he was ready to try to flip it to Cook when he ran that draw play and that big number 90 just swallowed him up there. I mean, he just kind of disappeared into that guy's jersey and looked like he thought about it and then he just decided to just cuff the ball and hold on to it. Well, in the old days, I think he would have flipped that ball out.
Maybe.
Or tried to flip it to Cook.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine, George, right? You never know back in the day. So it just is part of his growth, part of his maturity, development, however you want to, you know, phrase it. And I'm extremely proud of him for it. It just to me is a great sign of his development.
I didn't catch the injury report, but is it like a 50-50 chance we might see Micah Hyde next week?
Probably zero to, well, one, I'll give him 1% to 99% that we'll see him. 1%. Never say never.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.